We're back. This is Who's Talking. This is Frank Maloney and Jim Hobgood. We're going to go to our LeClaire Ryan play of the game at this time. And Jim is going to describe the action from last night's game.
Yeah, at the game last night over at JPJ, and the Cavaliers got off to a fresh, good start, had an 11-point lead at the half. And in the second half, they led by as many as 19 points. But then George Mason had a 6-0 run that cut the lead to 50-40. Still 9 minutes, 41 seconds to play. 10-point lead with 9:41 to play is not comfortable. So I was starting to squeam in my seat a little bit. But baskets by Ahsan Sen and Joe Harris, which will two plays of the game. Two buckets by two Cavs bumped the lead back up to 54-40 at the 7:54 mark. And after that, George Mason was not able to get any closer than 13 points the rest of the way. So the Cavs tucked away another nice win to get to that 8-1 record that we discussed earlier. Paul Hewitt, fortunately for us, another disappointing visit for Paul to JPJ. I was interested. I guess Tony Bennett has a perfect record against Paul Hewitt, having beaten him three times while Paul was the coach at Georgia Tech. So, but I'm sure Paul will do a good job up there. But as we said earlier, a good game last night for the Cavs. You know, four different guys made threes. They didn't shoot the free throws as well as they normally do, and maybe committed a few more turnovers than Tony Bennett would like to see. But George Mason did apply full court pressure throughout much of the light at night, and the Cavaliers handled that reasonably well. So I think a lot to be happy about on the basketball front as we go into the exam break.
You know, I did notice one of the comments that Coach Hewitt put out there after the game, and he said something like, has Sammy Zaglinski been playing there for like 8 years or something? And then Sammy heard about that later when he was being interviewed by the media, and he said, God, it feels like 10. So I thought that was an interesting comment.
Well, that's good. You got to maintain your sense of humor.
You know, from the player as well as the coach.
Well, you know, the funny thing is that with colleges today, particularly on the basketball side, so many of these guys come and they're there a year or two and gone. So even the guys that just stay 4 years seem like they're sometimes there forever, especially those people that actually play when they are freshmen. But if you do get a medical redshirt, I'm sure these opposing coaches do think, is that a guy ever going to leave? You know, so but Virginia, I think, and the other nice thing, and I may ask Coach McKay this when we have him on, you know, you got three seniors on the roster, and it really helps a team's chemistry when those three seniors all play and all play important roles, because sometimes when you have those upperclassmen, if they're not getting in the game, it can sometimes poison the locker room a little bit. So that's another problem that Virginia doesn't have to worry about this year.
Well, that is one thing I have noticed about Tony Bennett's teams. Excluding the first year, it seems like the kids genuinely like playing with each other. They generally enjoy playing for Coach Bennett and his staff, and they're getting better.
And I'm slowly coming around to Jontel Evans, as Frank's having a little coughing spell here. But, you know, Jontel still a little limited on the offensive end, but the one thing he can do, and I think that's the reason he plays, he can guard an opposing player off the dribble. And I think that's the hardest thing to do in college basketball, particularly since they don't call palming the ball anymore. You know, you can carry the ball routinely. Every year I did the radio, it was a point of emphasis for the officials to call palming the basketball, and they called it a few times in November and then never called it again the rest of the year. But it makes it really hard to guard a quick guard
that
for the other team that can palm the ball.
It can use the crossover dribble,
yeah,
because it's a crossover carry dribble.
Yeah, but Jontel is just such a good athlete, and I think this goes back to some extent to his football background, too.
Absolutely.
He's just a tough kid. He is just an athletic young man. And he made some nice floating, had some floaters in the middle of the lane last night. I think he had 9 or 10 points last night. So if you can get 9 or 10 points out of him, you got to be real happy with the way he plays defense.
Well, he drives to the basket well. I think that's one thing that he and Sammy have become far more proficient at, and that is getting all the way to the basket quickly and getting the ball up on the basket. And that gives guys like Mike Scott, Akil Mitchell, James Johnson, Darian Atkins, whoever's going to be in there, a chance for a follow play, even if they miss.
Yeah, and Ahsan Sen, it's nice.
Don't forget Ahsan, yep.
It's nice to have that 7-foot guy back there for anybody that gets beat defensively on Virginia. You get that nice 7-foot guy back there protecting the basket. So I think they have the potential to have a really, really good season. You know, I was a little concerned after the TCU game, but they've turned that around. And now they go into a difficult stretch with the road games at Oregon, at Seattle, and at LSU before they start conference play in January.
Oh, piece of cake. Piece of cake. Thank God.
Cupcake City, huh?
I know. Well, they got LSU on the road, which I think is going to be a good.
That's a tough test.
That's a pretty good barometer before the ACC season kicks off later that week.
Right. All right, well, I think we may go ahead. We're going to take this break a little early so we can give the balance of the time to Coach McKay, who will be joining us after these messages. Stay with us.